This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I was thinking, I was like, this could be the cold open. This is good. And this can't be the cold open. This is not good.
No. It's a disaster.
Ryan, talk some more about how Caster Troy should sue the government.
Cerber, that's why you're the best in the biz. No, Caster Troy should sue the U.S. government, or his family should, I guess, because he didn't consent to any of this face-swapping shit. Like, yes, he's having a good time being Archer. Is that his name? Sean Archer?
Yeah.
He's having a good time being a
barreling in there with guns fucking blazing.
Being a creepy dude.
Okay.
But, like, you think of the consent forms you have to sign for, like, the most minor medical procedures. And they took dude's fucking face in secret in the middle of the night. Like, if I were his defense attorney, I would argue all his subsequent crimes washed clean. Because you know what started them? When you stole my client's face and
is
put
that
it
like
on
pleading
John
insanity?
Travolta.
Is that pleading, like, insanity, an insanity plea?
Kind of, yes. I would say, like how could anybody be in the right state of mind when they wake up and find their John Travolta?
But what about...
He didn't wake up. I'm out.
No,
you're right. He woke up and found he had no face at all.
Woke up with no face.
Yeah.
Then said, put his face back on my face.
See, it's unclear. I suspect the first thing he said was, hey... put my face back on me, and they said, ooh, problem with that, Hoss.
No, they show it, and he says,
no use.
Check the tape.
He says, put his face on my face. I'm going to go live his life. I'm going to be the one that says, I hate Eve. I hate to watch you go, but I love to watch you leave.
But I think he's only saying that because option A is not available. I don't think he came in and said, you know what?
Wait,
I'm going to make lemons lemonade out of lemons here.
No. Does Caster Troy strike you from the text as being a guy who is adept at pivoting on a dime and making the best of a given situation?
No.
Yeah.
So I think...
That's why they know that the bomb is planted there, because they know they only have this amount of time. He's a planner.
None of this changes the fact that he didn't consent to the face swap in the first place, and that is why, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you must return a verdict of not guilty.
But
I'm saying that Caster Troy is a Caster Troy is a felder here, and they fucked with his routine.
I'm sorry,
I'm not sure he recovers.
Prosecutor Kirk has a question.
You can't just look up and you have a different face, and therefore you're allowed to get away with everything forever.
Yeah,
yeah,
Ryan,
there's a time limit, maybe.
I mean, at some point, also, how many minutes would you say?
I think you get a week. I think you get at least a week.
That's all they had. That's all they had.
Yep.
One week purge, period.
Yep.
You get 1 week when somebody steals your face to do anything you want?
Ryan, already made the strongest argument you could possibly make by saying, how are you supposed to act when you wake up and you discover that you're John Travolta?
Right. Right.
But he didn't.
But his alternative filter was to be a faceless man. He didn't have another choice. It's not like they were like, let me open
so
up the lookbook and you could be anyone.
Or Randy Dad John Travolta.
Yeah. It's not like they were, you could be like, hey, you can be peak Dennis Quaid. Not an option.
We've told too many children that they can be anything they want to be, I think is the lesson here.
The other one, though, they do have spare faces. It just so happens the easiest face to grow... The easiest face
Spare
to grow
face.
In a lab is Richard Kind. You'll just end up looking like character actor Richard Kind.
Richard Kind does look kind of par-baked.
Look what you did to me!
He's mad handsome, though, right?
No, Richard Kind is like a take and bake. He's like a Papa Murphy's pizza face.
He's got not... Like, he looks like his last name fits.
He's pleasant looking.
He looks...
I wouldn't call him...
All I'm saying is if I'm the government and I get
like
hit with this lawsuit...
Like, if he were my dentist, I would feel confident.
Yeah. If I get hit with this lawsuit from the estate of Castor Troy for illegal face swapping, I'm settling that shit. I'm not going to court. I'm saying here's your $3 million.
What was the government's fault?
The government was the one who did it!
So how can it be illegal if the government did it?
Oh,
exactly.
As always, our pro-government podcast is here to defend any and all actions of the executive branch.
I don't recall the government doing it part. I need to rewatch that. I need to rewatch
Oh, the government 100% did it.
Okay, yeah.
They sent him. He said, I'll go. Because they could have had anybody else that wasn't Sean Archer do it. And instead, he's like, oh, you mean the guy that killed my son through my body? I'm going to go undercover as him to go to his brother because I know the most. About Pollux.
Like,
but clearly, I forgot the
like,
entire.
I wanted
like,
to be a producer when I grew up. And look
the
at
entire
me.
Reason they swap faces that escaped my brain. All I remember is what happened from that point onward.
Right, right.
He's got to get the location. He has to go to the maximum security prison.
Yeah.
That's on a boat
with the magnet boots.
That's on a boat
with
the Mario boots.
Yes.
Boat prison.
He's got to go to boat prison with the boots. Get the information from Pollux. Pollux realizes it's not really him. Pollux doesn't realize it's not really him. He gets some of the information, then he gets out of the, breaks out of the prison, jumps out of the thing barefoot.
Finds out he's on an oil rig.
On an oil rig, swims to shore. Then that's at the same time as when Pollux is.
Castor is
swapping himself
for the past decade.
But
Castor is swapping himself.
Right.
Then he becomes Castor becomes Sean Archer.
I wish you, the listener, could see the frantic gestures that filters.
That's the exchange.
Passion.
And then he becomes Sean Archer. Then he gets his brother out of jail, and then they do a fake interrogation. He's like,
"Yes,
you got to come on, big bro." He turns off the monitor, says, "Come on, big bro, you got to give me some information here."
Faces
or off. Come on, little bro, you got to give me some information here. Then he does that. Then he also goes home. Remember Janie, his daughter? Mm-hmm. He calls her Jamie. She goes, Is it Janie?" And then he calls her the wrong name, N or M. One of the ones they're wrong. Then. Danny Masterson is in this movie.
With his daughter.
Yeah, it's you've got something I need, and then he gets close to her, but it's cigarettes, and then he goes, "Papa's got a brand new bag."
Yeah,
I've seen this movie a lot.
Really?
just God, just for the listener, Felder is now toweling off after a good rep, a real good rep.
After giving what 1998's face off the full Felder Stratter treatment.
Yeah. We can start the show now.
Your mother, 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 mother. Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. Are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. There is never enough welcome. Never. This here in the holiday season of Thanksgiving, where we open our homes, arms, and families to anyone and to all.
But not
you dare
faces.
Say there's too much welcome in the Shutdown Fullcast. A Thanksgiving. Can there be a Thanksgiving humbug? I have found him, and he is Ryan Nanny.
Yes, yes.
Joining us from Nashville, Tennessee.
Wow. Ryan has become the thanks taker.
You're
there has
welcome.
To be. There has to be. How can it be given if it is not also taken?
If there is sunlight, there must also be darkness.
Are you saying that it's not possible
very clever,
to be
Ryan.
Dunked? Are you saying that every person who ever got dunked on is ultimately submitting?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that you have just heard the voices in sequence of Jason Kirk from beautiful Kennesaw, Georgia. You cannot see, but on our Zoom call, highlighted by the rays of the setting late fall sun. And Holly Anderson joining us as always from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia, sitting next to me.
Highlighted by the Super Nintendo.
Highlighted by the glow of the Super Nintendo and Bubsy.
It's Bubsy 2.
Bubsy 2,
it's
I'm sorry.
It's a completely different game.
Completely different game. We also have on board two guests today because if the Krampus of Thanksgiving, Ryan Nanny, he who walks around Thanksgiving going, "You're welcome," randomly, as people are giving thanks.
Yeah, how the Indians like that, Ryan.
You're welcome for helping you survive the winter. It's the worst mistake they did.
What's your Enneagram type? Oh, I'm smallpox blanket.
Joining us as guests, we have first Michael Felder. Michael Felder, welcome back.
Thanks. I don't know if people are going to like that I'm back or not.
Buddy, I'm back, so it's clear that we don't care whether they want us here or not.
But I'm excited because I am. If Ryan is a succubus with respect to Thanksgiving.
But fine.
What?
Sure.
A succubus.
What do you think that is?
Isn't that someone that like sucks up like your energy and everything?
It is now. Yep, sure is.
Yeah, it is. All right.
Am I wrong on that?
Ryan, the Jezebel nanny.
You're welcome.
Father, traditionally a succubus is like a sexy female demon who's there to lure you to your death. Honestly, I would rather be called a succubus than Thanksgiving Krampus, so I'll lean into it. Here I am, sexy as fuck.
Sexy Krampus, looking to steal your soul. Sexy Krampus nanny.
I thought they like stole your like energy.
Yeah, like energy through your dick. They steal it through your dick.
Yeah, but it's a very specific route through which that happens.
Ryan, the sexy Grinch nanny.
Well, Thanksgiving is my dick.
This week, Ryan gives the sex talk to your kids.
I was gonna go with the holiday theme and some food and call Ryan Yampus. Yampus.
But get out.
The Krampus of Thanksgiving.
Get out. Yeah.
I have to cut that.
Anyways, point being, if Ryan is, I used the wrong word. I'm dumb. Come on. How many times I've been hit in the head?
I'm the siren of this podcast.
Okay, what's Spencer's excuse?
Born this way. Natural luck. Yeah. Just blessed. So blessed.
Also, ate a lot of Wendy's.
It's true. My dad worked at Wendy's when I was born, so I am literally made. Like, probably my first solid food was probably Wendy's.
Frosting and Chemical X. That's what Spencer's made out of.
That's right.
Wait, what's Chemical X? Pretty new fries.
I'm like Moon Knight. Cannot be killed. Cannot ever truly live.
I love Thanksgiving. That's the whole point here. I used the wrong word. Did I do it wrong? Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Did it bad. That's my fault.
No, but it was you made it better.
Yeah,
you made it better with your improv.
Listen, we can.
There's another guest.
Thank you, Felder.
Also joining us from beautiful Kennesaw, Georgia, sitting next to Jason right now is Emily Kirk. Emily, you are here to help us with Thanksgiving questions and your expertise, correct?
Because you are Midwestern.
Sure. Yeah. I just want to make sure nobody has Zaxby's traits for Thanksgiving.
Why?
My first year here.
Was that ever your introduction to the state you just moved to?
Yeah, it sure was. Oh. That was my first holiday in Georgia, and his parents had a Zaxby's tray, and I cried.
Oh, God. Go Dawgs!
a Zaxby's tray for what?
Of chicken tenders for Thanksgiving dinner.
Just so everyone knows.
Yeah.
Zaxby's officially calls it platters with a Z.
Okay. Whatever. I'd never had Zaxby's.
It's called Thanksgiving.
Yeah. It was bad. I cried a lot. And I wanted to go home.
This is my world now.
made me want to slit my wrists when I saw it.
Wow.
These are our traditions, and you will adopt them.
Traditions.
Hey, we've never had it again since, so my crying worked.
I'm just picturing... I'm picturing like a horn of plenty overflowing with nuggets.
For folks who want to hear more about this story, we have it preserved in the Thanksgiving Disasters episode from a couple years back. But Emily, were you guys married at that point, or did you technically still have an escape route?
I had an escape route, but I mean,
she forged ahead nevertheless.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were not married, not quite yet.
Is the Georgia contingent of your family now properly appreciative of your holiday efforts, or did they take some wrangling?
So they definitely know that I will not eat out on Thanksgiving now. So that's good. It took a couple years to get to that point, but at least it wasn't Zaxby's.
Or Golden Corral.
But yes, Golden Corral was always like the follow-up. Yeah. And then, so now...
Felder's angry.
We always cook Thanksgiving dinner, but now my issue is that, so like I brought the Thanksgiving dinner tradition here with me apparently, and they still fight me on the things that I make better than anyone else. Yeah. So, and they say,
soldier on.
They'll say things like, oh, but you know, she always makes this. And I'm like, whatever. You guys had Zaxby's before I came along.
You should stun on them 1 year and don't tell them. Just 1 year when everyone's coming over, boom. You've been Zaxby'd back. It's been years.
The Zax back.
But the revenge back. Of Zaxby's has been visited upon you.
What's funny, I don't even know if they would remember. Like, it was just like, whatever.
That's
They
problem.
Might step or, right or back they, into it. They might be like, oh, it's Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's worse. If you undid all your conditioning.
And they'd just be all like, your oh, years for
Felder is Felder is really Felder's unhappy right now.
Felder is massaging his head like he's got a searing pain.
They would just forget it ever happened. Like, I'm convinced with society, most of the time you could be like, at one point the governor will be like, yeah, you should have to like totally like, we're not just going to have water anymore. We're not going to put water in your house. And people will be like, you know, you used to just get water in your house through a pipe. They'd be like, no way. No, that's crazy.
No, I Felder, the ground. The
Felder, it's dirty down there.
Felder, I know you would probably not get into this situation in the first place, but if you went to somebody else's house for Thanksgiving that you had no participation in, and they were like, all right, everybody sit down, we got the nice plates and napkins out, and they just brought out Zaxby's trays, what would you do?
I mean, I would cry.
See?
I'm saying this from experience. We made it to a bowl game. My sophomore year, we made it to a bowl game. We had practice Thanksgiving week. My family went to Atlanta. They left me, and I was like, okay, that's fine. I'm dating a girl that lives in Chapel Hill. I'll go to her house. But what I didn't realize is they're from Connecticut.
Oh, no.
And so they had fish.
What?
And, like, dressing that's in the turkey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Oh, neither are those people.
Not the big boy white plate that you get.
Yeah.
With it's the like, cornbread hey, stuffing.
Who wants to maybe get food poisoning in small portions?
Yeah.
They had the dressing that has like oysters in it, didn't they?
No, no oysters, but they did have fish again. The turkey was like the second centerpiece because the fish was there. And I was like, fish? Wow. What the hell is happening? And she drove. I started crying. She drove me home to Charlotte to stay by myself on my birthday. My 21st birthday, I got driven home and she left the next morning and was like, all right, I'm going back home. And I was like, okay, I'm going to just be at home by myself. I don't have a car. I'm here. And I was like, but that's better than what just happened to me.
I can't believe we found something sadder than Spencer eating Thanksgiving at Whataburger in his car.
I just like the idea that you cried the entire way. That it was just like, you know, like 4:58.
Why do you like that?
No, but like a loud gusting cry because he was so offended by
Thanksgiving. I saw like
Thanksgiving.
My girlfriend at the time, her family with her she has two like twin little brother and sister. They saw me cry, and they watched me cry, and they were like, I think you got to take him home.
He's not built for this.
Like, this isn't, this is not his life.
I like that you are now a story at some other family's Thanksgiving. Forever. Yeah. Forever.
Right up, cried, and left.
Yeah, remember that football player we had from UNC that came over for Thanksgiving, and then he cried?
You remember when she brought the crying bear over? Well, we're going to help everybody avoid.
Let's find ways to avoid this.
We're going to avoid tears this Thanksgiving. We're going to hopefully help you avoid, unless this is what you want, we're going to help you avoid eating Whataburger in your car in the parking lot of a Texas Whataburger. And this was in College Station where I ate it. We're going to avoid that, okay? We are going to help you with your Thanksgiving questions. Holly, would you like to ringlead us on this
us? Dewey Throw, thank you, This Is Hog, at This Is Hog, asks, man, I feel like we kind of did this already, but he's trying to thread a needle here, so I would like to take it genuinely if we can. What is the most bizarre dish I could show up to Thanksgiving with and still be able to pass it off as legit? I mean, I think you can pretty much pass up anything as some weird family tradition and people have to say, yeah. You know, people can't call bullshit on you because people are fairly political. Like my brother-in-law's family, they always ate Thanksgiving with us and their family was closer and we never really knew why. And then one year he was like, yeah, last year at Thanksgiving for dessert, my mom made canned pear halves and the holes in the pears were filled with mayonnaise and shredded cheddar cheese from a bag. And apparently this is
I want to end the episode right now.
Oh, that's why you drive from Birmingham. Okay, that makes a lot more sense now. So, like, everybody's family makes some weird, awful shit, so...
No, not everybody's family makes weird, awful shit. That's not true. That is not true. My shit is on point. My family shit is on point. Like, not everyone makes weird shit, but... You are spot
on. I feel
like
the answer is you could pass off anything. So I guess the question really is like, what's the most bizarre concoction you've ever encountered at another Thanksgiving? That tops
fish.
Anything that I have ever seen.
Felder, what is the fish objection?
It's Thanksgiving. I'm trying to eat a turkey.
Pretty simple, Ryan. I know you don't understand.
Okay. It's a straightforward logic. Yeah, Ryan, don't bring it up again.
Like I get, like I like if you're a pescatarian, I dig it. Go for it, but you can't have turkey on the table and make the fish the star.
And the only reason that I can think of that is like, oh well, we're trying to be more. We're trying to do what they actually did at the first Thanksgiving. Yeah, everybody died at 35 at the first Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I don't want the first Thanksgiving.
And also, they weren't eating indoors. The past is terrible, and we should not try to recreate it.
Yeah, you don't want
the bitches had goose.
I think that's the answer.
I would like to attempt to cook a goose at some point.
No, that is the answer. The most disconcerting thing you could do would be to roll up and go, "Hey, I have a whole fucking goose." And I mean, it's live in your hands when you walk in and they're like, "Don't you have some steps that you need to follow here?" He's like, "Yeah, we're going to do it in the backyard." Like you first have to like take the thing out, which is no mean feat because geese are
like,
ready to
geese
fucking
are
fight.
Dicks. And if you show up with one that's not dead.
Yeah. Don't half step to a goose. You have to finish it quickly or it won't respect you and it may kill you.
Angela, you said you loved farm to table. What the fuck?
Yeah. Additionally, have you ever tried to cook a goose?
No.
It's real fatty, right?
It generates an astonishing amount of fat that you have to catch
potatoes
in a huge drip pan. And if you don't have an adequate sized drip pan for this massive goose, because they're huge too, you're going to burn the entire goddamn house down. It is and it doesn't even taste that good. It's like a tremendous amount of work.
Oh, it doesn't?
No.
Okay. I figure with all the fat, it would be good.
No. It's not. No, it's not. It's nowhere close to duck. Duck is so much better.
Why are they so different? Like, why is the meat so different?
The meanness. It's the meanness of the goose that makes it.
They have mean thoughts, and that filters through their bloodstream. I wonder.
It's negativity.
So now I'm thinking, like the traditional turkey fryer explosion. Can we go goose fryer explosion? Would that be like?
It'd be just a nuke.
Yeah.
It looked like the Terminator 2.
We used to have a tag on EDSBS that just said "Turkey Fryer Holocaust," and I think I would like to replace that with goose at this time. Goose-ageddon.
Yeah. It's not even that good, and it's such a pain in the ass, and you could burn your whole house down, and then everyone's just like, ooh, goose, that's traditional. So I think that's the weirdest thing you could bring.
The Oklahoma football of...
Yeah.
There, we've done football talk.
So can you go ostrich for even greater...
Showed up with a live ostrich.
Ostrich even is good, though. Tons.
Is it? How do it you know good. All this stuff?
Ostrich yeah. is good.
You've had it?
Okay. Yeah.
We've had it.
Where have you guys had ostrich?
We had it at a restaurant in Atlanta.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
There's a South African restaurant in Atlanta called 10 Degrees South, and they have it.
South African.
Yeah.
Yeah, they used to sell it at the farmer's market. There are ostrich farms outside of Charlotte. And so they sell the ground meat, and they also sell kind of like the cutlets. And
how
obviously the eggs.
Use this information of an ostrich farm to like ruin Hartzell's life?
First of all, we buy him an ostrich. They can't be that expensive.
Bring it to the house and just tie it to their mailbox.
Tie it to the mailbox or a tree in the front yard and leave.
It's a pet. This is for Julian from Uncle Cerber.
He'll lose his mind.
It's hostile. I love it.
Hartzell's not going to listen to this for a couple of weeks, so we won't be in trouble until after Thanksgiving.
It spits and kicks at Daddy. Can we keep it? Can we keep it?
I think I can maybe make that worse than a fighty animal, and although I guess this depends on the amount of children in your party, what if you show up with a cute animal that's part of the meal?
Rabbit?
I was thinking pig. Hedgehog? Like... Hedgehog?
Yeah,
hedgehog. Yeah, everybody, we're doing kebabs.
I was at least thinking of things that people eat.
Someone has eaten a hedgehog.
Someone has. Someone has been like, dude, it's real rough right now, but the hedgehog's going down.
Guinea pig.
Guinea pig's delicious, allegedly.
What?
Allegedly.
I've heard the same.
Oh, my Christ.
Yeah, this is a South American thing.
It's a delicacy in Peru. It's a delicacy in Peru.
Yeah, Peru and Venezuela, yeah.
Yeah.
According to medieval experts... Hedgehog should have its throat cut, be singed and gutted, then trussed like a chicken, then pressed in a towel until very dry, then roast it and eat with some kind of sauce, or in pastry with wild duck sauce.
Thank you to Dr. Robotnik.
That sounds
right.
Thank you, Dr. Robotnik.
I don't even know where hedgehog's from. Where are they native to? I mean, I guess England, if we're hearing about this in medieval cookbooks.
They're in that like Indo-European area. Okay. Like throughout there, yeah.
Hey, let's skip to a new question. This is incredibly upsetting. Let's see. RE Golf asks, I'm by myself for Thanksgiving this year. What should I make for dinner? And I'm going to throw this to Ryan because Ryan has a great attitude when it comes to alternative Thanksgiving takes.
Whatever you like. Whatever you want. Like, I am much more on the idea that Thanksgiving should be just about making food that you enjoy making, that you believe you and your guests will enjoy eating. I agree with Felder that if you're going to try something outside of the traditional realm, you should let everybody know. Nobody should get a surprise fish for Thanksgiving. But if, especially if you're by yourself, like if you're like, hey, I just want to like grill the best burger I've had and like buy some really nice ground or grind my own beef for it or whatever, and I want to like make my own french fry, like just do that. It 100%, you should not spend the time on Thanksgiving and the money on Thanksgiving making food that you don't like. It happens to so many people, and I truly don't understand it, because I think if you asked your loved ones, hey, can we change this to something that like is more enjoyable for me, if their answer is no, fuck that. That's not a very good Thanksgiving, is it?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I also would say, what are you interested in leftover wise?
Oh, yes, that's a good point.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Because that burger's great that day.
Yes, correct.
There was.
But if you're someone who does like turkey, and you do like mashed potatoes, or you would like to have that extra thing. Like, one of the big things for me, I love the food on Thanksgiving. I think it's really good. I think we handle it well. But I also always fry two turkeys.
Because you want the leftovers.
I want the leftovers.
Yes.
And if you want those like, they are on sale right now. You can get a turkey breast. So you don't have to make a whole turkey. You don't have to eat a whole turkey, but you can get a turkey breast for relatively cheap. You can roast that off or smoke it off or grill it or whatever you want to do. But then that's going to give you the leftovers, because if you want to do that Thanksgiving sandwich the next day, right?
Yeah.
You have the ability to do that. So, yeah, I would. That's the other part that I would say. That like, you hit the nail on the head, Ryan. I also think that those leftovers, they be hitting.
If you're having Thanksgiving entirely by yourself and you make a whole turkey, that's just amazing to me. And people are probably doing
what
that.
If you really like turkey sandwiches.
I'm not even, like, the turkey is not my favorite part of Thanksgiving, but I would totally make an entire Thanksgiving dinner if I were by myself.
Yeah.
What
are you putting in there?
What's
your standard operating dinner?
What's the four? You have four things that I can give you for this. What four? Yeah, I'm saying I want to start at four and then I want to expand from there.
Thanksgiving Krampus is back again. Okay. Morrison with his sexy ways.
Okay,
Krampus, back again. Check it directed. Let's begin.
Ryan, but put your shirt back on. Not again. Okay. He's nude.
This is because I didn't wear the Eagles jacket.
Yep. Yeah, Penny.
Sorry, Penny. We can't see you without your true form. All right, Emily, what is your go-to rotation? What are we working on here?
Mashed potatoes, of course. And then my great-grandma's noodle gravy. And
what's that?
Okay, so
let's hit pause. What is noodle gravy?
We make homemade noodles. And use that, like, we would make a gravy for the homemade noodles, and it becomes like a 2-in-1 kind of dish because you can eat it as a side or you can put it on your turkey and potatoes.
Ooh.
But it's amazing. You like make the noodles the day before and then they dry out and then you roll them up and you slice them super duper thin and then you just boil them in with your gravy.
I've never homemade heard of this, but I like it.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. I used to do that like when I was little, growing up with my great grandma. That's like something that I like to do when I can. It's time consuming, but it's worth it.
And your family's from Kansas, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right on.
So that's a must do in my family. And then also my great grandma's cranberry salad, which isn't really a salad. It's just sweet. But I don't like canned cranberries because it's just Jell-O. So we do like fresh cranberries and other fruits and things and a lot of sugar, and then you use Jell-O. Now that we have a vegetarian daughter, we use some other Jell-O like thing, but it sets up so it firms up a little bit, and then it's just like really good cranberry side. And let's see,
is there walnuts in yours?
We use pecans.
Do you use and nuts? Yeah, my grandma did a variation of this that was green and had pistachios in it when I was
little. No, this is it's totally red. It uses whole oranges, so you use the peel and everything, and pecans, pineapple. Why can't I think of what else is in there? A lot of cranberries.
This sounds like a very church cookbook recipe, because I feel like I've seen a variation on this from like a couple different aunties.
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny because anytime I've brought it places, people either love it or hate it, and a lot of people hate it before they even try it. So whatever.
Who hates it?
Your family does not like it.
Well, they like sex.
I was going to say.
We've established the perimeters here.
Is that why I always have an entire bowl of leftovers? Yes! I'm just like, yum, 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 yum.
It's funny because my family fights over it. Like, we have to make, like, 14 batches because everyone's like, I want the leftovers. But, yeah, around here, it's like, we're the only ones that eat it.
These Baptists have simple palates, y'all.
And
what else is on your table?
I'm not as big into sweet potatoes, although I eat them more now. I like them savory. I don't like them with marshmallows. So in place of sweet potatoes, if people make that sort of thing, then I like acorn squash roasted with butter and pecans instead. And I also I love green bean casserole. It's easy and simple, and a lot of people do it, but I love it. And I do it with Swiss cheese and cream cheese instead of just the cream of mushroom base. So, yeah, those are my must-haves.
Shout out to the Canimals and a friend of a friend of the program who made the 4-pound green bean casserole for the office potluck last year.
My brother always had the like best Thanksgiving ninja trick of all, to go to the green bean casserole, which in my house was prepared in the classical Southern style, meaning this much green bean, about an inch, and then 3 inches of Durkee's fried onions layered on top of it. Correct. And he would just, my brother being the trash hound that he is, would just scoop up and be like, yeah, I'm getting the vegetable, and would just scoop the fried onions off the top of it onto his plate.
Just those are just upside down nachos.
I did just buy the bulk size bag of them from Sam's, because one of those little things is never enough.
Mm-mm. No, he's like, I got a vegetable, Mom.
That is the single most, out of every item at the grocery store, the canned onions is the single one that no one gives a shit about until Thanksgiving week. Like, if you work at a grocery store, that is the week when every single person who passes you says, where are the canned onions? Because no one thinks about them. And Black Friday, they cease existing.
People call them canned
onions. You know, whatever.
Put them on the end cap.
Yeah, no, and they got to be Durkee. I don't know why. The Durkee brand.
French's
Durkee brand fried onions just hit like no other. I don't know why. And only in November. Because I've bought them on a lark, you know, in like April. You go, oh, man, you know, these
Did
might
you
be good.
Them, like, to snack on?
Yeah, you know, when you're hungry, you're shopping hungry. Yeah, and you're like, oh, I'm just going to try a handful of these. And you do it, and it's immediate regret. It's instant regret. Like, oh, this only tastes good once a year.
Ryan, I know you guys made Italian for Thanksgiving 1 year. What are you, and you're hosting this year, right? What are you making?
I am hosting. I am doing a mix of, I'm ordering some, I'm getting a smoked turkey from a local place because I just don't want to deal with it. And then I'm trying to do, we're going to do like pistachio crusted pork tenderloin as sort of the supplemental meat.
Not the star. And
then, not the star. It will be the booster rockets to the space shuttle that is the turkey. I promise you, Felder. And then this year, here, I have my list right here.
Yes.
So we're doing Brussels sprouts, corn souffle, parsnip puree instead of mashed potatoes because, like, I think mashed potatoes are good, but I also think they're very heavy, and this is like a recipe that you use olive oil and you use the parsnips instead, and I just think it's a little healthier, I like the taste just as much. Mac and cheese, cranberry relish. I'm going to make the rolls. We're going to do like a wild rice with mushrooms thing, and then some dessert. That's what we're looking at.
I like it. What's your, I know we're talking about what we're all going to have, but what's your, I saw that you just pulled up the card.
Yeah.
So what's your like planning process like? Because I think that's one thing. And as this comes out ahead of time, I don't think enough people plan right out. So what's your process like?
So I have a
oven space.
I have a spreadsheet. See, to me, the problem is less, and this is just because of my setup. The problem is less oven space, and it's more freezer and fridge space. Because right. I know, like, the parsnip puree, for instance, I don't need to make that day of. I can make that ahead of time and then reheat it later. But the problem is going to be I got to keep that in the fridge somewhere. So some of this is enlisting, like, local relatives who will be convening. It's like, hey, I'm going to come to your house on Tuesday. I'm going to bring a big pot of this, and you're going to bring it back to my house, and then we're going to heat it up. But, yeah, I have a spreadsheet where I have listed out what everything that's getting made, who is responsible for it. Because some stuff I will staff out because people want to contribute or because, like, my sister who's coming in town, like, really likes making the cranberry relish. I don't give a shit about it. It's not one of my favorite things, but she wants to make it. Cool. You're on the list. And then I have to list out what do we not have that I need to get.
Right.
In some sense of, like, because, you know, the other thing about Thanksgiving is so many of these dishes are randomly, like, here's a spice you never use half the year, or here's like a can of something that you would not normally be in your pantry. And then I have a list of here's the order in which I'm going to cook it, and here's the order in which I'm going to reheat it. It is like a real organized process, because I have learned the hard way that if you try to wing this, and if you try to just think like, well, this will take about this long, and this should take about, you will completely fuck yourself. You will completely fuck yourself.
Yeah. No, I that's why I had to ask, because I don't do a spreadsheet. I'm a hard copy guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I go hard copy menu. That menu then spreads into all the ingredients I need for the menu.
Yep.
then I cross-check that with what I have in my home versus what I need to get from the store. And this is my last week of shopping.
Yep.
I'm going to get everything that I need because I don't want to be in the store like a psycho the week of Thanksgiving when everyone is going in there pretending like they know what they're doing.
Yeah, I do mine in Evernote, and I would also underline several times, especially if you're trying this for the first time or you're cooking for a group for the first time, plot your prep time out too. Plot time for, you know, because if you're cooking multiple dishes over multiple days and you might need the same pan to cook more than one thing, you know, make sure you spread those out. So I do mine in Evernote, and I start by making a menu, and then I nest, you can nest notes, like have like, you know, notes that live in a little notebook, like a little virtual notebook within Evernote. Mm-hmm. And I have a nest of the menus on top, and then I have a nested note under that that lists out ingredients for each dish. And then I make a copy of the menu into a third nested note where I go through and cross-check it against everything in the house, and everything that remains is my shopping list. But it's two shopping lists, right? Because you got to do one like a month or 3 weeks beforehand where you get everything. You don't have to get fresh.
Non-perishables.
And then you do a quick run like Monday of for your meats and produce. And then you don't go to the store on Tuesday or Wednesday because we raised you better than that.
I would like to offer a dissenting opinion to all of this planning. This is relating back to the original question. If you were by yourself for Thanksgiving, right? Mm-hmm, there's a lot of preparation you could do to prepare a nice traditional Thanksgiving meal for yourself. If you aren't feeling that, I would suggest $85 of Thai takeout. $85 of Thai takeout, and just watch the Lions suck. That's what you should do on Thanksgiving.
No, watch a movie instead. Don't watch the Lions.
Yeah, watch something good.
If you wanted one tradition in there.
That's the tradition you want to put on people?
No, don't make people watch Jared Goff.
And find them
without actually seeing your family.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of another Thanksgiving tradition that
one
could enjoy by yourself. Egg bowl. Okay, that is also violence, though, if you want to watch things. Okay, it's fun for an observer. If you're a Mississippi State or Mississippi fan and you are by yourself, don't watch the Egg Bowl by yourself.
I would like to offer one more planning hack that Holly and Felder may not approve of, but I want to offer it anyway. I intentionally plan my menu with room for failure or stress. So I will always... I will add one extra thing that I know if things are dicey or if I'm just like, fuck, I don't feel like making that, I can kill it. And I'm just, like this year, if I'm just like, you know what? We're not having the Brussels sprouts. I just don't feel like making them. It's like, that's cool. They'll keep in the fridge. We'll make them on Saturday or something like that. Like, build something in so that you can pull the ripcord and say, all right, I have taken one thing off my plate without even having to worry about it.
I think you're spot on.
That's like when we put Minnesota in the top 25.
Yes. Yeah.
This is like, you're down in the 15 spot in your rankings down. Right. You just got to start guessing.
Right, right.
Yeah. Do you have planning tips?
Not really. I tend to just, I don't care if I don't sleep as long as I get everything done.
Grind time.
Yeah.
This is also.
Rise and grind.
This is very Midwestern.
Okay.
It's fine.
No, that's where that's where the Midwestern and Southern moms are joining hands across the aisle and going, we're not so different.
Well, and it's so different.
Connecticut moms are just like, it's fish. It's fine.
It's fish. I'm telling you guys, like, it's
moms,
that's how
and
I,
Felder.
That's how I felt. I cried in the bathroom of a Walmart one Thanksgiving. Because
hold
the...
on, Felder, how many adult Thanksgivings have you cried at?
That sounds like a few.
I think three.
Okay.
Two, three.
All right.
This was the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. My injector broke.
Ooh.
Oh no.
Yeah.
And I went to Walmart.
And now you have to go shopping with the idiots who start shopping on Wednesday.
And I had to go, and it was like 9 at night. So I had to go to a 24-hour Walmart. And they didn't have any, and this is a point where I'm frying, I think, 10 birds, because I've got four birds for some of my wife's coworkers. They've already been picked up. I've got two birds for my sister-in-law and her big Thanksgiving. I've got a bird for us for the house. I got a bird and we're driving to Fayetteville the next day to go to my grandparents' house to take them Thanksgiving. So we got to drive the 3 hours to Fayetteville. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I have to get this thing done. And I was like in the grocery store looking for a new injector and couldn't find one. Couldn't even find the Tony Chachere's that comes with the injector. And I went into the bathroom and I cried and went back home and I was like, I guess this one's going in the oven and we'll take my grandparents one of the ones that's fried. But yes, it is high stress. I totally understand. But I'm getting better. And to Ryan's point, have a thing that you can blast into the sun. Mm. Have a thing you can blast into the sun so that you don't have to feel like you're losing your mind.
And for those of us who are Thanksgivinging in warmer climes, I also like to I tend to change up the veggies at the last minute depending on the weather. Like if it's going to be 75 and rainy like it is on many Thanksgivings here, I will forego the green bean casserole in favor of like, I think one year I just did a bunch of like soft greens out of the fridge and I went out to the garden and I pulled handfuls of every herb that I still had going and I chopped it all together and threw some olive oil and lemon juice and coarse sea salt in there. And that was what we had instead of Brussels sprouts or green bean casserole because I was just done with the heat in the kitchen and it was great. It was fine.
You know, I will also suggest cooking outside.
Yes. If you have the ability, by God, that, yes.
That is also a thing you should not attempt for the first time on Thanksgiving.
Nope. Nope.
I always like to... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, you know what makes me cry? The idea that family members might this holiday season open up packages and not get a delightful present from the good people at Home Field Apparel. That's what.
Folks, he got the discount.
A Thanksgiving present.
Yes. You know what? Thanksgiving Krampus
here. What
else
to be thankful
for? Telling you it's okay to give Thanksgiving presents. It's unexpected. It will make your relatives feel bad because they didn't get anything for you.
Ah, that's right.
That's my angle. Yep. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to do that, if you want to wait until normal times, hey, good news. Home Field is running a Black Friday sale starting on November 26th and running through November 29th. All items will be 20% off for the duration of this sale. You don't even need our code, which is offer code FULLCAST on your first order, but you technically don't need it here, but remember it for after the 29th if you fuck up.
But it only works on your first order.
Yes. This one works for anyone. Your 8th order, your 15th order, your 1,000th order, doesn't matter. And
don't judge
those
me.
Of you who've rocked with us for a very, very, very long time, we have a Thanksgiving present for you.
And to the point of planning, as you can probably tell from, I don't know, everything else around you, these items are going to sell out. These items are going to take some time to get to you. The supply chain problems are very real. There's probably a like shipping container sitting in the Suez Canal full of comfortable sweatshirts and t-shirts. So order as early as possible.
Nuh-uh, because they're printed in Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah, it's not theirs.
They route through the Suez.
Yeah, yeah.
The Yukon sweatshirts and what have you go from Indianapolis to the Suez and back.
Yeah, right. They send them on the big boat to sit in the canal for seasoning.
Yes. Okay. So
that's why they're so comfy.
Get your Home Field is telling us to tell you, get your orders in as early as possible so they have plenty of time to get you all of their fine goods for the holiday season. That's what makes me cry. The idea that somebody might wake up, some uncle or aunt might wake up Christmas morning and not have cozy Home Field Apparel.
That's traditional uncle gifting holiday.
Listen, it's a really good uncle or aunt gift.
When we gifted the uncles the gift of 4 hours of watching the Dallas Cowboys every single year.
If you're going to watch the Lions, wouldn't you rather be comfortable doing it?
But I'm not going to watch the Lions because I'm not a psycho.
So why not be hyper comfortable? Why not be hyper comfortable?
Well, because I know how to invest my time, Ryan. Okay. And it's not the only thing I know.
That's the only thing you know how to invest.
Well, who can help me with that, Jason?
Well, here you go. You do both at the same time. What you do is you download the Acorns app at acorns.com. You make sure to add the /fullcast on there, and look what you got. You got a $5 starter pack for your investment. You maybe, you know, start working on your Thanksgiving fund. That's how retirement works, I think, is you cash it out every Thanksgiving. And then buy the biggest turkey that you can. Is my Thanksgiving advice. So how it works is, as you make these purchases, as you buy Thanksgiving ingredients and injectors and so forth, it rounds up the nickels and dimes, and they go into this magic pot that then gets invested and whatever, and then you retire.
You won't want to squash these acorns.
They pay us every week for this ad. I say that every week, and they keep paying for it.
And then when you retire, you can have whatever you – every day's Thanksgiving when you're retired. Just make whatever you want.
You can eat a whole turkey every day.
That's right.
Acorns.com can get you further along towards your life goal of buying an entire turkey every day and just eating it. Just sitting out in your front porch in a kiddie pool with a little baby bib, no shirt, and in a pair of hot pants, just eating this turkey.
That's like 1910s populist presidential campaign. A turkey every day.
A turkey.
A vote turkey for on Wilfred every Minna- porch.
Yeah, well, vote for Wilfred Miniman. He'll give you a turkey every day.
Spencer Hall, scourge of turkeys everywhere.
God damn it. Speaking of turn of the century child labor, Spencer, how are Rowdy and Ricky Bobby Jr.?
We have now had, I believe, after a sudden reversal last week, we are continuing.
That's also very turn of the century.
We are continuing that, as elder son is now behind younger son, who was previously down. We are now, let's see, a gap of $63. $63. So the gap is holding steady. I do not know if the two have been hard on the embezzling hustle this week, or if they are just again occupied with crypto. Probably crypto. They're probably just up to their eyeballs in it.
Speaking once again of children, and that is acorns.com for all your investment class needs. Speaking of kiddos, we have a question from Aaron Brotman at Aaron Brotman on Twitter. How old does a kid have to be to put them to work for Thanksgiving prep? Spencer, I'm ruling your children out. Let's throw to those who have daughters and hear from them.
Old enough to read. She can follow directions. It can be simple.
What does Evie work on with you guys?
See, she likes the idea of cooking a lot. She loves the idea of cooking and making all the things until she starts it. And then she's like, I'm going to go play now.
Yeah, we've had that experience in this house a lot. Felder, I tell my nephews when I want to shame them that Savannah is 3 and knows how to load the dishwasher. Where is she on her sous chef journey with you?
Yeah, she's a plate clearer. She's a dishwasher loader. She's a dishwasher emptier. She also is. She has her own, like, we got her own chopping sort of little microplane. Isn't the right word. What's it? You know what I'm talking about, Ryan? Like, it's the, you hold it and it's like a bench scraper, but that you can use to chop.
Yeah.
But she's 3 and she'll be a part of Thanksgiving. I think it's about interest more than it is about making them do it, because
you're nicer than me.
But here's the problem. If you're not into it and you're not interested and involved, I don't want you in my way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Felder wants people who are committed to this team.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's more of a hassle if you're having to stop and redo what they're doing or keep getting onto them to keep going.
But you got to have buy-in.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so the other way I think about it is less my kid and more how I was. I grew up, I'm a mama's boy, no doubt about it. That's the reason why I'm homesick. I'm not close to my mother. And literally, to be in the kitchen on Thanksgiving, you had to be doing something. And so when I'm 4, when I'm 5, I'm washing greens. Nobody mentioned collards, but collards are a big part of Thanksgiving for me. Like, I was washing greens. I was pulling greens off stalk. I was washing greens when I was growing up. Then I got to the point where I could chop the greens or pull the greens apart. Then I got to the part where I could, you know, cut the corn off the cob. Got to the part where I could peel potatoes. And that was just like growing up. You like level up on the thing that you're allowed to do. So, yeah, I think, like, right now I've got a kid who she helps me tear greens off stems and put them into the water to wash, to soak. She's at that stage. As she gets older, if she's still interested, we're going to get her peeling potatoes. So I think kids, if your kid is interested, get them involved, because it's a skill that they'll have for life. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I have, like, this, my cousins that are all my same age, and quite frankly, none of them can cook for shit. And
I hope they're listening.
It's one of those situations where they never learned that skill, because they were like, oh, I'll come in and pick off the turkey and then go out, but I'm not staying in here to do extra work.
It's not dissimilar from learning a language. Like, you can learn it later, sure, but it's going to be harder, and it's not, yes, going to come to you as naturally.
That's a great point.
We are
learn Thanksgiving while your brain is still soft.
My daughter and I tend to do the baking portions together, because those are usually happening before Thanksgiving itself. So math, you can sort of just focus on that. There's some math involved. The other thing is, for me, baking, I would say much more so than a lot of the cooking parts of Thanksgiving, really requires you to like do your mise really well. You yes, need to say, you like, and for me, it's very helpful to say, I have already measured out all these things. So I can say to her, okay, here is a half cup of this. Here is a teaspoon of this. And it's already been separated out into a cup or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can learn about dry mix and wet mix and whatever. And you can, more so than actual Thanksgiving stuff and a lot of cooking stuff, it's the kind of thing where if she's with me for half and then she decides she wants to bail, that's fine. Like, we got a little time together at Thanksgiving. She gets to feel proud and say, like, hey, I helped make, you know, this or that. That's right, cool for her. And it just, like, but I agree with Felder. Like, the idea of saying, like, you get in here and you start, you get this knife and you start getting to work, like, that's a terrible idea. That's just the worst.
We have different mothers. Ryan, what is your, while we have you on the subject, what is your menu this year? Besides what? Did we get all the way through yours? Because I think we got derailed on parsnips.
We hit all the main things. My mom wants to handle the pies, so she's doing that. And then there's a mystery item that is yet to be determined. I want to make a third, probably chocolate-based dessert. I don't want it to be pie. I haven't decided what it's going to be yet. And I do have to decide that pretty soon here.
Ooh, you could do, like, mousse cups, and because those will keep in the freezer.
Everyone king-size Snicker bars.
I have just thought about mousse. One of the problems...
Yeah, see that big fucking Reese cup? The pie-shaped Reese cup?
So one of the problems with mousse is that you have to use raw eggs in it, and there are some people who should not be having raw eggs. So I have to... Like, you can... Apparently, you can buy pasteurized
just
eggs.
You can use Cool Whip. It's fine.
So
make
we'll
chocolate
see.
Cool Whip.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Just served on chocolate.
Think about the pie shaped Reese cup, though.
You know the pie shaped Reese is sold out, right?
Fuck.
Wait, those are real? I thought you were joking.
Oh no.
No.
No, it's like a 9-inch.
Have I missed an internet thing? Oh my god.
Why exactly are people acting like it's a new thing? My dad 100% brought us one of those from the truck stop one time.
That sounds South Carolina as hell, though.
Okay.
That's very true.
Yeah, that might have been one of the, like, rare blessings of living in the Palmetto State. Is they're got like, it. Hey, we got an endless supply of these. I don't know why. They just keep
we got
all off the train.
You don't come on over.
People don't know this. The 9-inch Reese's is actually the state bird of South Carolina.
this is the lost verse to Big Rock Candy Mountain.
What's your favorite kind of steak? Hey, Strom Thurmond, what's your favorite kind of steak? I like a Reese's 9-inch.
Don't make me like Strom Thurmond.
Everyone has one thing in common with humanity. We all like stuffs.
That was, by the way, chillingly accurate
really
Strom Thurmond imitation that I just did.
Water finds its level, my dude. Yeah. Water finds its level.
Hey, you know, too, for dessert, Emily, if they make chocolate Cool Whip, you can just put that in the fridge and it'll harden up. It's like a new dessert.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Get you a knife.
That's what I learned.
No.
Get a knife. Put it in the middle of the table.
Yeah. Wait,
I know we were ostensibly talking about children. Spencer, what is your key contribution to Thanksgiving prep?
I cut. I do good knife work. Huh. So if you need something chopped, I will do that. That is traditionally my role, is to do decent knife work and to keep my children away from the fucking turkey fryer. Keep them away from the knife goddamn work. Hot right. oil
bomb.
Look
how you're mad already and we haven't even started cooking yet.
I'm so mad. I'm already so fucking mad.
You're the get-back coach of Thanksgiving.
How old do you think a kid should be before they start fucking around with that turkey fryer?
Probably
mine?
Older, but they're 40. Not ready. They're 40. Not ready. You don't understand. They're not ready.
No,
yet.
They're not ready for each. Like, and I don't trust them either with prep with a knife yet. Both for very different reasons. Each child, I distrust them. I distrust one with the knife because there will be blood, and then I distrust the other because there will be someone else's
one
blood.
One is there will be blood accidentally, and one is there will be blood on purpose.
Yeah.
So drink your milkshake.
Eventually,
think,
yeah, but I'm
going
to keep...
Even they could... This is... I was going to say a second ago where I do think it's very useful to get kids involved is, especially if you're working on something else, having them set up your mise, especially in, like, a baking scenario, you know? Show them how to measure out half cup of flour and put it in a little bowl. They're going to get flour everywhere, but flour always gets everywhere at this time.
Yeah.
You know, like, most time. Of the messes that you can make while setting up for baking are recoverable.
Yeah, but if I am instrumental, it all depends. Like, I've spent Thanksgiving in different, like, several different scenarios over the last couple of years, and I'm usually the chop guy. I can cook a turkey, and it'll turn out fine because I can follow directions, especially when it comes to cooking meat. If it's, like, baking, I'm lost. That's too close to science. I'm out. Someone else needs to do that, right? But I can cook stuff that is, you know, pretty much like one-step fire recipe. And a turkey, there's a lot of prep, but you can follow the directions. And then when you're finished with it, unless it's a fried turkey, it's still just a turkey. It's fine, and it's good. It's just not worth you. Like, wow, I worked 9 hours on this thing, and I got a B.
You make it stock. But are you making stock then?
I mean, yeah, no, you can do that afterwards and all that kind of stuff.
You
that's fine.
You can.
But stock has to go before.
You better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stock comes with your dry run of the turkey in like October.
Right.
I'm sitting on a carcass right now to get my smoke stock going, baby. But no,
my stock and sugo is frozen and ready to take up to my mom's because I am not hosting this year. Thank
there
merciful
you go.
Jesus.
No, I'm in. I started frying turkeys when I was 15, so
kids are built different, man. I was thinking about how I had my first camping knife when I was 8, and that's the age of Spencer's younger son. And I'm
not
just,
in a thousand
no
goddamn years.
Way.
No,
there's no way.
Look, some of the difference now is
I realize everyone on this call has daughters. Fuck every single one of you.
That's
fuck
not
all of you.
Look, but the
Ryan's,
other distinction
hey, Ryan's
is,
about to have a combo pack, man.
The other distinction is
welcome to hell.
When we were growing up, if your kids, if you got injured in a way that your kids should have been watching you better, as long as you didn't die, your parents were not going to make national news. They were going to be on the local news broadcast, maybe. But now, like,
this country used to be great.
You have to parent so that you're not the main character on Twitter.
We live in a world where. Guess what? There was no chance in hell I could pull the television down on top of me.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Big ass wooden cabinet television.
if you did, you would have been playing at UNC when you were 12.
Right.
You're like, this is the strongest
like, oh,
baby
like
on the
his,
world.
I like
in the
his
world.
Want to. Hey, yeah. He's got some want to.
Yeah.
Am I in charge of the turkey this year?
Mm-hmm.
I'm in charge of the turkey.
What are you doing?
What manner of turkey cooking?
I remember what we did last year is a shitload of butter. Butter is a secret ingredient. You can't go wrong.
I don't think it's a secret.
However much butter you think is a lot, I think the secret is like infinite butter is the secret.
Under the skin?
Yes.
Everywhere. Oh, yeah. And we did a lot of herbs under the skin. I don't remember which ones exactly. But
you made a buttery paste of herbs and butter. Yeah.
I love a buttery paste.
Mm-hmm. Shitloads of butter.
And then stuffed it with veggies and more herbs and lemons.
Oh, yeah. The lemons. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because last year, because of COVID, we weren't really seeing his family. So my family was around because we helped them a lot because they were super high risk. And those were the only people we saw for a very long time. But so I was basically doing everything else. So I told him he had to do the turkey. So I found him something he could follow along to. And it turned out actually probably one of the best turkeys we've ever had.
You've learned to delegate.
I can follow instructions.
Everybody's acquiring skills.
Yes. That's yeah, because I don't know the last time he cooked. He can smoke things.
Yeah. I cook outside exclusively. Yeah. This was
you have dad cooking skills.
Jason, I think my set of skills and your set of skills overlap in that. Like if it's cooking outside, that's my realm. I can do that, right? Once it gets into anything that might require wearing a white hat of like to cook, I'm more and more uncomfortable with that. But if it's something that involves tongs and smoke and fire, that's I'm farther over toward that spectrum. I had a question about the turkey. Do you think you could just take a can of Mountain Dew Rise Blueberry Pomegranate Crush and just put it in there and sort of gently ventilate so that it boils out through the turkey and infuses the whole bird?
Yeah, that's fruit.
No.
Will that work?
How about we're going to get two turkeys, okay? We can have normal turkey and we'll have fun turkey.
Where are you going to cook it?
Fun.
At our house.
So funky.
We'll do the normal turkey in the good oven, and ours will be the funky.
Yeah, so here's the thing about the good oven. Our house was built in the 60s, and it is fun size. Like, our kitchen is not meant for cooking. And
yeah, that is mine.
Our one full-size drawer, like our silverware drawer, opens about 4 inches into the fridge. And our oven is about half size. So it's really fun when you're cooking a lot of food to try and cook in that kitchen. It's horrible.
That kitchen was designed for smoking and drinking, right? It was what are you going to do? We're going to smoke and drink over a casserole dish no one touches. Because we've all smoked and drank. And
microwave, the oven of the future.
I grew up in one of these, and I have one now, and my mother calls it the one butt kitchen.
There's only
room for one butt in it.
Yes, mm-hmm. that is. Listen, if we're giving people tips and tricks, absolutely figure out how many butts your kitchen can handle. And also, what was the old thing that when drinking and driving first like became a thing, when it was like friends don't let friends drive drunk.
Oh, when drinking and driving became a bad thing.
Yeah, a bad thing. Like,
okay.
Friends, like, also, don't cook with people you don't cook with.
Mm-mm.
It's stressful. It's remarkably stressful. Don't let your friend who she only cooks 2 days a year, don't let her come over and then think she's going to do some work in your kitchen. She's going to be in your way the entire time. And she's not your kid. She's not your kid that you have to love.
Also, do not mess with someone else's meats. Do not add on to their dish, okay? The biggest fight in the history of my family started when somebody put an entire half stick of butter in somebody's peas without asking on the prep, and 2 hours later, everyone had gone home crying. That was the start.
No, we got to hear the whole thing.
I can't even take you through the whole thing. It started into a fight that evidently unearthed, like, it was like opening the Ark.
So it was like fights from was this where slights from 10 years?
Yeah, it was like opening the Ark of the Covenant with a stick of butter. Shit came up. Dead shit. Like marriages that I didn't even know about were referenced. Right, that had already happened. Right, that's why your first husband left, and you're like, you had a first husband? You know, that's why you have a kid across town. What? Like. That kind of shit, you know? That's why you killed a Kennedy.
That's why my
uncle Lee Harvey Oswald. So don't do that. Don't mess with that. Additionally, if you are a person, all right, these two people can be in the kitchen together. A person who cleans as they go and a person who cleans as they go. A person who does not clean as they go cannot be in the kitchen with somebody who cleans as they go. Mm-mm. That cannot happen. If you're a cook, there are plenty of good cooks in this world, probably, I guess, about at least half of them, who do not clean as they go. They're just throwing dishes. That's fine. Okay? But you can't be in the kitchen with somebody who cleans as they go.
You can't cross the streams.
Are there people who clean as they go on Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
You have to.
That's very brave.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how to do it without going insane.
I cook like a Waffle House chef. You know how they're like, here, just like scrub plate. Sure. Constant motion? Yeah.
Spencer, does this rule allow for two people who do not clean as they go?
That's fine. That's fine. You're both stacking. That's fine. Like that's fine because you accept the mess, right? You're not the person who cleans as they go, looking over and going, "What the fuck are you doing? I'm not doing those," right?
This kind of covers the next question I was going to hit, which is from David Naylor at Professor Cedar, who says, "We are hosting Thanksgiving for the first time this year. What are we going to screw up, and how can we not screw it up?" Parentheses. Iowan Thanksgiving, exclusively Iowan people. So I also happen to know, if I remember from Charity Bowl last year, that David also has a less than a one-year-old child in the house. So I think we've doled out a few good tips for first timers. Emily, I'm going to throw to your Midwestern expertise there. They're trying to impress some Iowans.
We have had a few Iowan Thanksgivings, so...
Well, teach us their ways.
I mean, basically...
Corn.
everyone should contribute. Like, I don't know if I would have ever been to a Midwest Thanksgiving where it's not, like, potluck style. So maybe they're hosting, but it doesn't say if they're,
That's a good point.
Doing all of the work.
With their hosting and a new baby in the house, I kind of feel like that's a great excuse to say, okay, now what are you bringing? And not even ask people if they could bring something, but just ask them what you're bringing.
I would feel really weird going to any Thanksgiving dinner and not bringing like four dishes.
Okay.
So, I mean, I really hope other people are bringing food. I think basically we've kind of covered everything. It's just like anywhere else, really. Like, don't over budget your time. Make sure you have like a throwaway item, like Ryan said, and don't let too many people in the kitchen at once. I would probably prepare to have pretty much everything done. Maybe things just need heated by the time people get there. Like, don't try cooking while you're trying to entertain people, because that never works and something will go wrong. So as long as you're prepared for people to be there and you're already done with most of the cooking stuff, you should be fine.
We have a question from right back at Drew at competent-ish on Twitter. Oh, let's light this smoke grenade and throw it into the middle of the room. Turkey or ham for Thanksgiving?
Turkey.
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 Turkey. Turkey. Turkey. Ryan?
Turkey.
I don't have strong answers on this. It depends on your group. If your group wants ham, makes ham. If your group wants both, make both. Yeah,
we always have like a two meat situation, I feel like, at Christmas, but Thanksgiving is strictly a turkey affair.
I mean, it is official Fullcast policy that we endorse the presentation of ham once the sun is set.
Yes.
Right? So if you're going to show up late with ham.
Let the right ham in. Yes.
Let the right ham in, and around 8 or 9 deploy the ham. Deploy the ham at 8 or 9 with some biscuits, and then watch everybody suddenly get like their third wind.
So I have a swerve I can throw in here. Wait, Jason, you want to say something?
I was going to say, what is our number two meat? Because I feel like ham is often assigned to us, but we're not
ham
fans.
People. I would say roast, probably.
We're not ham folks.
Ham persons.
I would say a roast is usually like if we decide to do something not so traditional for a holiday, which doesn't happen often. Usually Easter is the one. We would do like a roast.
I think ham is the worst pig. It's my opinion. So I would say, Ryan, you mentioned tenderloin. That's very appealing. Mm-hmm. There are so many better pigs than ham, in my opinion.
Ham is an accent meat. It's an accent meat, not a main dish meat, right? So when somebody's like, do you want a plate full of ham? I'm like, that's a tall order, buddy. Just to be like, I'm looking at a lot of ham. And I'm going to have to put it down. I have done that. But afterwards, you're like, I don't know if I need much more ham. Now, if you take that ham, put it into a sandwich, if you're going to sort of like come with the different mediums to sort of pass the ham through without it just being an intense amount of ham, that's fine. But like, there's a reason that they cut expensive Parma real thin, right? It's a very intense flavor. Ham is intense. Ham is intense, Spencer Hall. Quote me on that, right?
So there's a...
with ham, dog.
Yeah, it's, like I
fuck with ham the whole way. That's my shit. Fuck with it.
Whole plate of ham. You were just staring that fucker down and being like, "Let's go."
Whole hog, whole ham.
Ham with mac and cheese, dog. That shit is on point. And okay. But here's the thing I will say, because you mentioned it with respect to Easter. You mentioned it with having like a thing that you eat it with. Ham is great for picking. So if you're not going to cook two turkeys that day, but you're only going to cook one, go get you a honey-baked ham. Get that thing hooked up, and then all throughout the day while you're busy doing something, somebody can pull a little bit off that ham. They throw it into a Hawaiian roll. Bang, 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 bang. We're in business.
Ooh, I'm glad you said that. We I'm just reminded of a recipe that I don't think we've ever talked about in all of our holiday episodes on the show. So ham shows up in two contexts in holidays in our family. It is a Christmas Eve situation where we have country ham biscuits. We do like a snacky dinner.
They don't have that here.
I will send you some from Clifty's. I will absolutely mail you country ham because that's not. I had to go without it in Los Angeles and it sucked.
It sucks. It sucks real hard.
I will send you some from biscuits. Everybody who makes it in my family is dead now, so we have to. We joke about flying it in from Paris. It's Paris, Tennessee. But we do like a little snacky buffet dinner at Christmas before we go off to church for 4.5 hours on Christmas Eve. And then on Thanksgiving, my mom makes this Black Friday. Well, not Black Friday because we're not like shopping, but Thanksgiving Friday, my mom makes this Friday brunch concoction the day after Thanksgiving. That is, it's Hawaiian rolls, and you lay down the bottom half and you layer slices of ham and turkey. And then it's this sauce that she makes that is like, it has minced onions in it. It has plum preserves in it. It's like a plum mustard, and which sounds disgusting, but it's so good. And you spoon half the sauce over the open face sandwiches. Then you top them with the other half of the rolls, and you spoon the other half of the sauce over the top. And then you bake, you put, there's cheese in there too. You put like Swiss cheese in there, mm-hmm. and you bake the whole pan until all the sandwiches are like gooey and melty together. But you have to spoon the sauce on the top too. That's important because it has to be a disgusting mess. And it turns into this savory breakfast casserole pull apart situation.
Is there egg in there too?
But you can, like, if you wanted to like throw egg wash or to like throw egg mixture over it, you could bake it as an actual breakfast casserole. But we tend to do them in the toaster oven and like pull them out of sandwiches.
I love it. Yeah,
which is really good. Let's see. Let's rock back to desserts for a moment. Brian Conway at Brian Conway 2 says, I need some recommendations on good pies to make for the holidays. So first of all, let's go around the horn and see what everybody's dessert plans are. Server, we haven't heard from you in a minute. What is your Thanksgiving dessert?
We'll make...
Chelsea's there. Chelsea, what are you making?
Yeah, Chelsea makes the desserts, and she'll make chocolate pecan pie. She'll also make the thing that my family really, really likes, a chocolate eclair cake, which is pretty simple. It's pretty simple. It's basically,
can we have some?
You take you take Cool Whip and vanilla pudding mix, and you mix those together to make your filling, and then you lay like layers of that and graham cracker, and then you cover the top layer like you do, you melt chocolate, and then you cover the top layer with that melted chocolate, and then you cool it overnight, and it's delicious. And that's like
this
my family's
to go
favorite
with the
thing.
Pecan pudding from last show.
It's really easy to make. I just described everything. It's simple, like vanilla Jell-O brand vanilla pudding mix and Cool Whip brand Cool Whip and graham crackers. And you just need a thing to do it in. It's super simple, but it's really tasty. And my redneck family eats that shit up.
That sounds, oh God, that sounds heavy. I want like one of those notations at the bottom that just says serves one.
Yeah. She actually makes one just for my dad every Thanksgiving. So it is the case for one.
Is she throwing some Oreos in there?
No, she's never done that before. But I like we did something. Man, what was it called? We called it like trash pie or something like that.
Oh, that sounds good.
Mud pie. We called it mud pie, and it was like vanilla pudding with Oreo bits in it, and then you crush up Oreos on top as like the dry layer on top. We used to serve that at the restaurant I managed, and it was really good too.
You throw some gummy worms up in there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Little cup of that's well, yeah. We used to have
worms
that.
And dirt. Worms and dirt.
Yeah, worms and dirt.
Yep.
Felder, what is your dessert rotation? I don't think we've heard yours.
I'm not big into desserts. We don't really eat sweets much. I think this year I'm probably going to make a cheesecake. Has nothing to do with Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving exclusive. My wife just likes cheesecake, so I'll make some and. But that's it. But traditionally, like if I was home, it's sweet potato pie. And that's like sweet potato pie and pound cake. Those are the two things that my mom, as I have taken over Thanksgiving from a family standpoint, she still insists on making her pound cake and her sweet potato pie, which is great and it's fantastic and I love them both. And I will give you this pro tip, a little bit of pound cake, you throw it into a pan the day after with a little bit of butter and you toast that thing like a grilled cheese.
Like and a you got a crouton.
You got a really nice breakfast to go with your coffee. Like it's undefeated.
Ooh. I don't think I've ever toasted pound cake before. That sounds insane in the best possible way.
I will say something controversial again. Thanksgiving Krampus here.
Okay,
I think pie is really good at Thanksgiving and it will always be at my Thanksgiving. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do it, but broadly speaking, as holiday desserts go, I think you have better options.
Wow.
There is a really good plum tort. You can find that recipe on Smitten Kitchen that I think is a really strong rotation. I think coffee cakes are a really nice thing to make for the winter holidays. They're very easy to cut and to give people portions of. Like pie's great. It is harder to sort of transfer. It is harder to like give people leftovers afterwards. It's harder to give as a gift or whatever. I think pie is good. I think if you are trying to branch out with your holiday baking repertoire, cakes and torts and cookies are probably the way to go instead of just alternate versions of pie. That's my opinion.
Right on.
Pie's undisciplined. Like pound cake. Pound cake you can
Christ.
Pound cake you can walk around with because it's got some integrity. Nobody's ever been like, "Hey, hold on, I'm just going to hold this piece of apple pie." Like just oozing. Yep.
You haven't first
never seen Jason at Thanksgiving then.
Also, yeah, I was going to say this is the least dad thing you've ever said. You can't eat pie with your hand. Fuck you, Spencer.
I'm pretty sure
I said you
a...
couldn't carry it with your hand. It could be eaten with
it
your hand.
It shouldn't. It doesn't need to be walked around with. It needs to be eaten at the fridge in secret before anyone can find you.
No, this is your secret pie.
No, this is just secret pie. Now we're just... This is Ryan's secret apple pie. It's not...
Secrets pie.
This is my walking pie. Around pie.
Yeah.
This is my sin... It ain't gonna this last is my sin long. Pie.
Yeah. That's right.
What if the sin eaters had pie instead of cake? Makes you think, huh?
Will say my mom has started doing, for her pumpkin pies, there are several recipes out there for this, where you add black pepper to the mix. And it,
ooh, yeah.
I haven't done this myself. I have tasted the fruit of it, and it's very good. It's I would try that out.
Lemon juice, too.
Interesting.
Yeah, got to get a little brightness in there.
Yeah, so more black spice. More spice, more acid absolutely helps bring out the sweetness.
So black pepper goes in the spice mix for anything pumpkin-y that I make because there is we are a cake / pie house divided. There is an analog to the Christmas cake that I suffer at the hands of every year, and it is thankfully never up to me to make, although I might give it a spin this year since we're not going to see this part of the family. It's a pumpkin bundt cake that is in my great aunt's church cookbook. Shout out Kingston, Tennessee, from I think 1972 is the copy of hers that I have. And it's an extremely thickly spiced pumpkin cake that's full of like cloves and nutmeg. And I started adding cardamom and black pepper to it. And of course that caused an international incident among certain members of my family, and now they've just gotten used to it and they think the old cake is bland. So, you know, sometimes you can just charge ahead because what are they going to do? Not eat dessert. I want to shout out our hot weather listeners again. There's a variation on pumpkin pie that I've never seen anyone but my mother make. And I don't know if she made it up or if it's a recipe, but she makes this frozen praline pumpkin pie. That is, she takes the pumpkin filling and you make the pumpkin filling, but you make it without eggs, and she whips it together with softened vanilla ice cream instead of making it into a custard. And she pours the whole thing into a graham cracker pie shell and freezes it. And then this is for those years when it's, you know, 75 and rainy on Thanksgiving. And she makes a giant praline on a sheet of wax paper and, in a great moment, hits it in the middle with a mallet and shatters it into a bunch of shards, and then like arranges those shards artfully on the pie when it's out of the freezer. and it's like a pumpkin ice cream pie. It's absolutely delicious, but then that's pretty much all there is to it. I'm pretty sure you could just make it with canned pumpkin and vanilla ice cream and whatever spices you want if you wanted to. I'm in charge of dessert this year, and we have nieces with multiple food allergies. I've tried to make this cake without wheat and eggs, and I think I probably could have done it correctly without one, and the other way it just slumped. So we are relying on a local, gluten-free bakery this year who is going to produce an apple cake for us. And I'm going to do some kind of like maybe a pear pie with a rum caramel.
I mean, I don't want to slander pie anymore, but in my family, we always had pecan pie, which is trash. I don't know why people.
I hate pecan pie too. Like, I'm one of the.
It's just syrup with right. like. It's just like the filling is it's never good. Worth. I could just.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I can't. It's the one corn syrup based item I cannot rock with. Jason, you sound like you've got something on your heart.
No, it's yeah. all wrong.
Or chest pie. It's never adequately been explained to me exactly
what
why it's called chest pie or what chest pie is.
This
I understand
is gonna be finally
servers.
What tears us apart.
Yeah, I don't understand what either of these things are. You know,
isn't it chocolate? Like chocolate mousse or something, basically.
There is chocolate chest pie, but regular ass chest pie is like just the custard. I think chest pie is basically like gooey butter pie or gooey butter cake.
Mm-hmm.
I think is like the Missourian yes. analog to that.
Your negative opinions can go fuck themselves.
I love. Listen, I'm a.
Oh
I'm
shoot!
A,
I remember I'm, the fight we were gonna have, Felder. We haven't had the. We didn't have the greens fight.
What about them?
After we remember. I was wondering if anybody else had particular holidays attached to greens, because Felder is making his for Christmas, and greens at my house are like a New Year's and Easter situation. And Felder, I wanted to ask you, do you have them on all, like, because I'll make greens a lot of times, like, just for regular non-holiday meals during the fall, but they've never been like a Thanksgiving or Christmas food for me.
Yeah, no, we eat greens on Thanksgiving, Christmas, greens on Easter. Obviously, as you mentioned, we eat New Year's, you better get them greens.
New Year's is mandatory.
Yeah. My mom calls me and is like, you got greens? I said, yeah, you know I got greens. You kidding me? If you don't eat greens on New Year's, you're going to be poor as hell. That's just facts, dog.
Yeah, that's correct.
This is my father's lecture to me as well.
Yeah, so we eat, my wife doesn't particularly care for them, but she'll eat them. But I've been doing a smoked green. So I've been doing that outside on the smoker, in a pot, just getting a little smoke to them. But I love greens. Like, so we don't, I'm black, y'all. We don't eat green bean casserole.
Wait, green bean casserole has not crossed the threshold?
No.
I was not aware of that.
That's not a thing. The first time I ever had it was that Thanksgiving that I cried. And then...
Listen, I want to send you a recipe that I want you to try. There's like...
There's oh, I can make it.
No, it's because there's a casserole recipe that I have that I think might be more to your sensibilities.
I don't like casserole.
Casserole
as a concept is pretty bad.
Don't back down, Felder. Fuck that green bean casserole.
No, I was just saying, I saw this a couple weeks ago. It's not green bean casserole, but it contains all the same ingredients. It's more of a stir fry.
The one Emily makes is more of a cheesy green beans situation than anything I would identify as a casserole.
Like I make green bean casserole. I can make it. I can make it taste good. I used real ingredients. I've fried my own onions for green bean casserole.
I fried my own onions last year, and it was a game changer.
It's a game changer.
Unfortunately, I don't think I can ever go back.
I use real green beans, nothing from a can. I make the whole deal. I can do the whole shit. I don't like it. I don't want it. I don't need it. But my wife likes it, so I make it for her. Where's my wife from? The Midwest.
That is correct.
There you go.
When you see a casserole, by the way, it's basically when you see a casserole, you're like, I'm in a radiation area. How high radiation? How low radiation? I don't know. If I walk that way, it could get worse. There might be way more casserole. but right now, I could do a little bit of casserole. It's like a little bit of radiation.
Casserole's a
I'm fine
high
with
danger
it.
Area for you because you're anti-cheese.
I'm anti-cheese, and I don't like creamy stuff. And like, I generally think.
casseroles exist because they were like, how do we sell all this extra soup?
Big soup once again pulling the strings.
Maybe we can have them cook scraps of food in the hot soup in a tray and then cover it with cheese, because cheese is often used like an alibi. It covers a crime. That's what cheese has done in America. Yeah.
Seefelder, I think casserole is the grown-up version of, oh, how can we trick these people into eating some vegetables? How can we sneak them into some? Like,
I always thought casserole is like grown-up struggle meal.
I agree with Felter. I don't like green bean casserole. I don't make it. Mostly because I'm just like, yeah, I think the vegetables should just be vegetables. That's just how I roll with it. Like,
I'm going to sneak a bunch of shit into my vegetables, let's just do Brussels sprouts that have bacon in them.
Sure.
See, I think this is why I don't do greens at Thanksgiving, although I've fried Brussels sprouts before when we were frying turkey. Like, because there's so much else on the table that's heavy and cooked, I want my vegetables to like be crisp and light and kind of break up the pattern a little bit. Like, I think the weather was my excuse, but I liked it so much last year going with like the herby green salad over any kind of cooked vegetable besides the potatoes that I think I might continue to rock that. It's more of like I'm using vegetables more as a change up how they've come to function in the meal.
The way that I make greens is not healthy. It's not good.
Oh,
for
no,
you.
They can't be. No, healthy greens are not good greens. Those are not the same thing.
This is also a regional thing to some extent, because like there are maybe 3 days a year in Florida where you're like, casserole sounds good. It's like, you can't eat casserole when it's like 88 and raining, hot rain. You can't do that. You can't just be like, yeah, that's right. Get the cream and mushroom soup out. We're going to casserole the fuck out of tonight. Absolutely not.
M.I.A. Dade County casserole.
Like Florida's a place where you're like, oh, Boston Market. That sounds heavy.
There's so many Boston Markets in Florida, and I was always like, who's getting fucking chowder today? It's 92 degrees, and somebody just got shot across the street. Let's get some chowder.
Wait, time out. Do you think that Boston Market is about chowder?
I don't.
Is it not?
They sell chowder. I know that they're a meat. I know that they do meat and free. Don't they do chowder?
I've never been inside a Boston Market in my life. I just know.
I'm thinking of literally Boston Market.
Wait, so what is Boston Market?
Hold on, I'm going to look.
Why is everybody laughing at us?
By the way, why are you asking me questions like knowledge isn't incriminating? Knowledge of what Boston Market actually has on the menu.
I can't speak to Spencer's younger days. As of now, Boston Market does not serve chowder.
Damn it!
They've abandoned their roots.
But it's 92 degrees in Florida, and I want chowder.
Reject modernity, return to tradition, embrace tradition.
I swear we had an episode at some point about Tampa's best chowder joint. Anyway, yes, look through the vault.
We did, yeah.
You've lived this long of a life. You've lived this life thinking that Boston Market made chowder.
Now,
why would I have gone into a Boston Market and verified what's in there? I've never eaten at one. Who eats there? Who goes?
I don't know. I don't know who eats there, but I know that they're a rotisserie chicken place.
Yes.
Yeah. Here's the other fucked up thing you can get at Boston Market.
That's amazing.
You can get meatloaf.
Yes.
What like
the idea
who
of
buys
being
meatloaf.
The idea of being on a road trip and be like, you know what? We're gonna stop and get meatloaf. Let's get fucked up on some meat.
We're gonna get some traditional Boston meatloaf. The Boston is like that's a total misdirection here.
Yep. The this way is the amazing. Pilgrims had it with fish in it.
If I throw a container of red pepper in the place, does the restaurant just shut down? No.
Oh my goodness, I can't believe this. Yeah. I cannot believe that you've just traveled through life thinking Boston Market
absolutely
was a chowder spot.
He thought it was like
I can't believe anyone would know what was in there.
I like the idea of Spencer rolling up to Boston Market and be like, two lobsters, please.
I would totally do that.
This seems entirely reasonable to me, and I'm concerned with what that says for me because I'm agreeing
with Spencer. I think I've eaten there once, maybe when I was like 24 or something.
Yeah, I had it when I was a kid.
Cafeteria food.
Yeah,
it's cafeteria.
Yes. Oh, it's like Luby's. Okay.
Yes.
It's like KFC.
It's not cafeteria style, but it's mashed potatoes, green beans, corn,
it's Yankee meat.
I got it for you. I'm gonna translate. All right.
Yes, that's exactly.
Okay, I'm ready. Please.
It's a non-buffet Shoney's.
Yeah.
Oh, that is great.
Yeah, but Shoney's had its points.
Shoney's had the
tray of bacon, the bottomless tray of bacon.
Oh, Felder, you weren't here when you found out. I didn't go because COVID, but my 20th high school reunion was at Shoney's.
I love it.
Oh, wait, I just realized.
It was supposed to be. I did not attend.
Y'all, Shoney's had, their mascot was a bear, Shoney Bear.
The lollipop bear in the tree, yeah.
Shoney Bear was nothing but kindness and love. All he wanted you to do was get the breakfast buffet and those little hollow Twinkies that you could put fruit filling and whipped cream in. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I think those
were just hot dog buns.
I can order Boston Market and have it delivered.
Excuse me. I think there are
Ryan,
pastries
don't you fucking dare.
Hot dog bun trays.
I am going to, on a day of my choosing, without warning, I'll give you a call to let you know it's coming, but I'm going to send you Boston Market for dinner one night this
Ryan,
week.
I know what it smells like. It smells so bad.
Ryan, please don't. This is great. This is going to hurt me somehow.
Hey, maybe you'll get lucky, and I'll do it on Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday when prime rib is on the menu.
Yeah, I think you could do a lot worse than Boston Market.
Ryan, don't do this week. Do it for Thanksgiving.
Oh, wow.
Do it the week of Thanksgiving because I'll be in Tennessee.
I bet Boston Market offers a full Thanksgiving dinner.
I would be shocked if they didn't.
Yes, I would believe that they didn't. Oh, I'm going to send you ribs. I'm going to send you ribs from Boston Market. You fools. You're ruined.
They have no sauce on them.
You're talking awfully bold for somebody who's going to be on parental leave in the new year and is going to be getting a lot of delivered meals.
These are Boston dry ribs.
Holly, I'll be so tired and sad that it won't matter at this point. You can't break
Why
a broken
would you
man.
Be sad?
Because children are up all the time when they're babies.
Because he's tired. Yeah.
It's true. He'll be very tired.
Yeah, he'll be tired from giving birth.
While I'm on my food questions from an alien kick.
XL family meal deal. Yeah.
No.
See?
Yet.
Hold on. Before we move on. What you're really going to fucking hate about Boston Market is the cornbread. You're going to be so fucking offended by this cornbread. You're going to think it's an affront to God.
Oh,
it is.
Ryan, I'm telling my
it's
father.
Bad.
Yes.
You're also, I will say, you're also going to hate the corn.
Yes. Yes.
How? How can you hate?
How'd they fuck up
the
corn?
Is it just cafeteria
How
corn?
How can you hate corn, he asked innocently.
Imagine corn with nothing in it at all.
It's basically just like, what if we put it in hot water? That's it. We didn't cook it in hot water. We just put it in hot water.
You're just bringing a human hog fodder to my door.
Oh, my God. I cannot wait to send you Boston Market. I am so excited for this.
Oh, my
what
goodness.
Did I ever do to you?
So
I can't believe
this question is our last question.
Well, my question for y'all is this. Is mac and cheese considered a vegetable at your house? Is that how that works?
No.
Because I don't. Well, full disclosure, I do not understand the dish. I do not know where it falls in the protein carbohydrate. I do not know
it's
whether it is a side
not
or
a
main. I do not know what goes in it other than mac and cheese. Obviously, I don't know what's forbidden or what's like considered outre in terms of making mac and cheese. I just have mac and cheese questions.
Well, you don't,
that's a Floyd episode.
I'm assuming you don't like mac and cheese.
Oh, yeah, no, it's rank. I'll stand on it. No, okay. I fucking hate cheese, right. Period.
No, I understand. Yeah, no.
Right. So mac and cheese is like a definite no-go.
All right.
Mac and cheese is not a vegetable at our house, but I do come from a family where we frequent restaurants where it is a vegetable, if that makes sense.
It counts. If you go to K&W, it counts as a vegetable.
Yeah.
If you're going to the K&W, that's what you get. Your main, you get three vegetables. One is going to be mashed potatoes or a baked potato. The other one's going to be mac and cheese. And then you're going to get green. You're going to get greens. I'm not getting green beans, but you can get green beans. But like, that's the three. And those are your three vegetables that go with the steak or chicken or whatever you get. It counts. Is it a vegetable? Absolutely not. Absolutely.
Conceptually, it becomes a vegetable.
That's a really good way of putting it.
Okay.
Jason, and what should Emily, not? Emily, and what is the it thing for that? Y'all?
Yeah.
It is a side. I would not call it a vegetable.
See, this is how we know you're not Southern.
Yeah. Sorry. I mean,
all
I make
sides
really
are vegetables.
Mac and cheese. I make really good mac and cheese, but we didn't grow up with mac and cheese as a Thanksgiving side anyway until I got older, and then it's often a kid requested item, so it gets made. But it's
To me, the key to Thanksgiving is I want to see evidence that it was cooked. I don't want just cheesy noodles.
Yeah,
like I you know what I mean. Yeah. I want some crispiness.
You're talking baked mac and cheese.
Yeah, you want some.
I usually make it actually on the stove mostly, and I may top it off with a crispy layer in the oven, but just because he prefers that. I don't know.
I'm here to rep mac and cheese. I fuck with it hard. Mac and cheese.
What's your method, Felder?
I didn't realize that mac and cheese couldn't be baked until I was an adult.
You didn't grow up with like stovetop mac and cheese?
Like we had there's a humongous difference between Easy Mac or like Velveeta shells and cheese.
Yeah.
But like right. When we have mac and cheese proper, it was always baked mac and cheese. That's just what we always had.
Right.
And we had it for every holiday, going back to Easter with the ham. Like we had it for Easter, had it for New Year's, had it for Christmas, had it for Thanksgiving. We always had mac and cheese. And it was always like you make your little roux, you add your cheese in, you get your noodles in, and then you get that into the pan, the Pyrex. You get the Pyrex with the little extra cheese on the top. You get it into the oven. You let it bake. Then you flip it to the broil. You broil that top so you get the crusties on the top. No breadcrumbs, just the crust of the cheese baked onto the top. And that's sweet. I didn't realize.
What about?
And you could the next day, leftovers. Like, you just cut the leftovers with a knife out of the pan.
It's like a brownie pan at that point. Yeah.
That's how you know.
Yeah, and it's like, That's,
second
I mean,
day mac and cheese is walking around food.
I don't want to scoop the mac and cheese. I want to slice the mac and cheese.
Yeah.
I want a hunk.
That is how it all
the cheese at that point has reformed into a single cheese. At that point, it is a type of cheese
by itself. You just give me a slice of that mac and cheese?
Yeah.
I know, by the way, like this is the influence of either the South Texas end or both on Thanksgiving, because at no point in any career in Ives' portrait of a traditional New England Thanksgiving that then spread throughout the rest of the country did anyone at any point entertain the notion of mac and cheese. And then at one point around like 1940 or 1950, it was like, hey, y'all, you know what'd be real good with this? Cheese and noodles.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And conquered with zero resistance the rest of the country.
I'll say this too, as people go out to do their shopping, fuck an elbow, get the cavatappi.
Cavatappi is the best
every time.
Hey,
my favorite hero.
Just so y'all know, Boston Market also has mac and cheese.
Don't you goddamn dare, Ryan.
And guess what? It's terrible. You're going to hate
it. We're not even blood.
I'm going to mail it back to you. I'm just going to pour it into a FedEx mailer and send it right to your fucking house.
They won't take it. They'll be like, oh, another attempt at shipping Boston Market? No, sir. Into the trash. You're banned from FedEx for life.
Does this contain hazardous liquids?